Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Tes Zayin. It's a fairly long daf, so there's going to have to be a lot that goes unsaid. We'll try our best to get through the entire thing. We left off 6 or 7 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Tes Vav Amud Beis where the beginning of the quotation of the pasuk of Vaya'an HaSatan Es Hashem. And this is right in the middle of the story. The Gemara is going through the story of Iyov, and it's telling us what we did yesterday so far was how the Satan came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, you know, I was just looking in the entire world, and I saw that there's no one quite like Avram Avinu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, what do you mean, no one like Avram Avinu? Have you seen Iyov? Have you seen how wonderful he is? So don't you see that he's so wonderful? So the Satan says, what do you mean he's so wonderful? When it comes to Avram Avinu had an opportunity to be Mahar Achar Midosecha. He had the opportunity to wonder whatever happened to your promises, because you promised to marry Yisrael, La'orcha, La'rachva, that the whole thing's going to be his. And then when it came time to find a place to bury his wife Sarah, he had to pay a lot of money to get one little cave in Eretz Yisrael. So apparently your promise wasn't fulfilled, and yet he was not Mahare Racher Midosecha. He didn't think for a moment that the Ribbono Shel Olam was unjust, and Iyov would never be that way. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says it's not true. Iyov is a Tam Yashar, the Gadol Shivcho Shel Iyov, Yosem Yishivcho Shel Avram Avinu. Iyov, the Shevach the Ribbono Shel Olam gives for Iyov is even greater than the Shevach he gives for Avram Avinu. So the story continues. Vayana Satan Es Hashem Vayomer. The Satan answers back to the Ribbono Shel Olam Vayomer, and he says, Hachinam Yare Iyov Elokim? What, do you think Iyov fears you for no reason? Hello ata sachta vado vad beso vegomer. The pasuk continues, vad kol shalom misaviv masi adav birachtu mekne paratz baretz. You gave him everything. You've given him everything he ever could have wanted. So my masi adav birachta, what does masi adav birachta refer to? Amr Shmuel bar Yitzchak kol hanotel pruta mi Iyov misparech. Anyone who ever took any money from Iyov, anyone who took a pruta from Iyov, had bracha from it. Was it so? Obviously, it was very easy for Iyov to do business. Everyone knew that whatever Iyov did, whenever he had an interaction with Iyov, it was going to be bahatzlacha. So Iyov had so much incredible success. Why would he ever question the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Satan argues. Umayim mekneu paratz baaretz. What does the pasuk mean when it says umekneu paratz baaretz? Amar Rabbios Rebbe Chanina mekneu shel Iyov partzu gidro shel olam. That his flocks were different than, they didn't operate under the normal rules of the world. Minhago shel olam ze'evim horgim ha'izim. In the normal way that animals work, the wolves kill the goats. Mekneu shel Iyov izim horgim ha'ze'evim. But Iyov's flocks of goats were so unbelievable, if a wolf would attack, they would kill the wolf. They'd eat the wolf for lunch. And that's how successful they were. And the pasuk continues, V'ulam shlachna yadcha v'ga b'kala shalo imla alpanecha yivarachika. And the Satan says to Ribbono Shel Olam, let's see you mess with him a little bit. Let's see you start up with Iyov a little bit. Let's start taking things away from him and see if he's still going to serve you unquestioningly. Vayomer Hashem el Satan, Hashem says, Hinechala shalo biyadecha rake lov al tishlech yadecha. Vayetze Satan min pnei Hashem. Right, Hashem says to the Satan, okay, I'm giving you free rein to do whatever you want to all of Iyov's possessions. Just don't touch him. You just can't physically affect him at all. And we'll see what happens with Iyov. Vayihi ayom, the pesukim continue, Vayihi ayom uvan avnos avochum v'shosim yayin v'vesach yam abuchar. And his children were eating and drinking at the house of their oldest brother. Umalach ba'aliyo vayomar habakar hayuchorshos v'asonos ros al yedayim. And everything was going swimmingly. Everything was going wonderful. The cattle was doing what it was supposed to be doing. Now, my habakar hayuchorshos v'asonos ros al yedayim, what does it mean? That the cattle were plowing and the asonos were grazing right next to them. This means that Iyov had such success, it was similar to the to Olam Haba. In what way is it similar to Olam Haba? So Rashi points out, it says by in Nevuos about Olam Haba that Harav Yoledas Yachtov, that he rayon veleda biyamecha, that pregnancy and birth are going to be on the same day. There's not going to be any wait, any time to wait between pregnancy and birth. And that's what we're darshaning happened over here as well, that the bakar were chorshos and the asonos were already there, that right after they got pregnant, they were ready, had babies. Od zemedaber v'zeba, and then after, while the first guy was delivering the good news, the next guy came. Vayomer eishel kim nafel min hashmayim vativar b'tzonu v'anor v'tochlim v'imota rak ani levadi la'agidlach. He says a fire came down from heaven and burnt up all the sheep and all the shepherds and everything. I'm the only one that survived the whole episode to be able to come and tell you. Od zemedaber v'zeba, and while that guy was still talking, the next guy came and he says vayomer. Kastim samu shlosha rashim vayifshetu ala gamalim vayikachu masanarim yikulufichare v'yimalta rak anil vadila gidlach. And he tells him, now all your gamalim are gone, all your camels are gone, and all those that were taking care of them. Od zemedab erizeba. And then the next guy came over here. The previous guy was still talking, and he said something else happened. Vayomer banechu v'nosecha ochlim v'shosim yain beveisachiyam abechar. Your children were eating and drinking in the house of their oldest brother. V'nei ruach gedolah ba. And a tornado came, a hurricane, something, some terrible wind came, and it fell on all the children, the house caved in, and they all died. Iov gets up, he tears his garment, and he shaves his head, question whether that he violated Nisr Daraisa in doing so, right? How is it allowed to be that Vayogaz Rosho, Torah says that you're not allowed to do such things over a dead body, and he began to mourn. Vayomer, and he said, Arum yatsasi mi betanimi, va'arum ashuv shama. I came naked from my mother's womb, meaning I came to this world with nothing, and I'll return with nothing. Hashem nasan v'Hashem lakach, yihi shem Hashem amvorach. God gives, God takes away, and we bless God anyway. That God is, He blesses God in spite of all these troubles. So b'chol zos l'chati Iyov l'nasan tefil l'elukim, l'nasan tefil l'elukim. And with all this, Iyov still didn't question God. He didn't, the pasuk says, l'nasan tefil l'elukim. He didn't question any of God's actions. He assumed that Hashem is righteous, and he didn't question anything in spite of all this. Now it's an interesting phrase that it says that Iyov says, Arum yatsasi mi beten imi va'arum ashuv shama, that I came out from beten imi naked, and I'm going to go back there naked. You don't go back to beten imi. So the Achronim have a little bit of trouble with that line. What does it mean, arum ashuv shama, that I'm going to return there without anything? So pashas is, it doesn't mean lebeten imi. It means in general, wherever my neshama came from, to shamayim, I'm going to go back arum. But it doesn't mean that he came Betanimi, that he's going back to Betanimi. Also, Rav Aaron Kahn used to point out in YU that the phrase Yishem Hashem Mevorach appears in two places. It appears in Hallel, and it appears by Iov. And the point of the message of that is that regardless of the highest praise, when you're feeling the greatest sense of Shevach V'Odat HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the goodness that He's bestowed upon us, and when a person is feeling Rachman al-Sun, the opposite, a great sense of dejection and a sense of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has punished us, either way we say Yehi Shem Hashem Varach. Either way, we bless the Ribbono Shalom. Pasuk continues, Vayi Ayom Vayavo B'nei Elokim Liyisatev Al Hashem Vayavo Gam HaSatan B'socham Liyisatev Al Hashem. There was a gathering up in Shemayim, and all the Malachim were getting together, and the Satan comes as well. Vayomer Hashem El HaSatan. Hashem says to the Satan, Emi Zetavo, where have you come from? Where are you on your way from? Vayana Satan. The Satan says, well, I came from checking out the whole world and seeing what's going on in the entire world. We're on the second to last skinny line in Tazayin Amar Aleph. Amr the fun of Ribbono Shalom. He says, Ribbono Shalom Shati b'kol ha'olam v'lo matzasi kavducha Avram. He says, I've checked the entire world and I haven't found anyone quite like Avram Avinu. Sha'amarta lo kum esalich beretz l'orcha l'rachba ki l'cha etnena. You told Avram Avinu, go traverse the land on its length and width, and because I'm going to give you the entire land all across the whole Eretz Yisrael. U'b'shah she'bikesh l'kbar sarav l'matza makum l'kovra lo hira achar midosecha. And yet when it came time for him to bury Sarah and he couldn't find anywhere to bury her, he was not Mahar Achar Midosecha. He never thought for a moment that the Ribbono Shel Olam was being unjust. Vayomar Hashem El Satan, so Hashem says to the Satan, hearing that the Satan had such high praise for Avram Avinu, but did not find similar praise to say about Iov, so he said, Isamta Libcha Lavdi Iov? Did you pay any attention to my Eved Iov? Ki Ein Kamo Ba'aretz. He's unbelievable. He's wonderful. Vodenu Maksik B'tumad Tseinu Ba'luv Aluchinam. And look what you did. You caused me to take away all of Iov's possessions, all all of Eve's children, and it was all for nothing, because you thought that was going to turn him against me, and you thought you were going to prove a point that Eve's not such a great tzaddik, but look what we did, we took away everything from him, and he's still such a great tzaddik, so you were maces me, the Ribbon Shel Olam tainas on the Satan. You caused me to go and take this away from him for absolutely no reason. It's also, it's and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmali Mikra Kasav Yev Shel Amar, Kadam Shemasisinos of Venises, that if had the Pasuk not said it, we would never be able to say such a thing, that the Ribbon Shel Olam has a taina that someone was maces him, that it's possible to convince the Ribbon Shel Olam to do something wrong, Kaviyachal, that it's impossible to even understand what that means. But the Pasuk says such a thing, that the Ribbon Shel Olam has a taina on the Satan, that he was maces him. It's also interesting, of all the things in Avram Avinu's life that you would praise Avram Avinu for, that you would say, wow, that really shows the godliness of Avram Avinu. So the Satan goes to the Ribbon Shel Olam. I would have said he went into the Kivshan Eish. He didn't question where he was going, and he went anyway. All the Nisyonos, the Akedas Yitzchak, right? I would have come up with something like that. And what's the big Nisayon that the Satan comes up with? It's that when it came time to bury Sarah, he had such trouble, he had such a difficult time when it came time to bury Sarah. So why dafka that? Why would the Satan choose that? As that's the godless of Avram Avinu, that he went through such difficulty with burying Sarah. I mean, yeah, it was a Nisayon, but he had to bury his wife. In his stomach, he would have paid anything. It didn't really matter to him what he was going to pay. He had to bury his wife, and that was the greatest, something that he was mechuyev to do. It wasn't even a question. Should he do it? Should he not do it? He would do whatever it takes. It's not like the Akedah where, he had to grapple with, am I going to kill my son, where I have all my hopes and everything invested in this child. Why did the Satan Dafka pick this? So Pashat, just in the Gemara, is that in the story of Eov, is that the Satan was trying to show that Eov one day is going to start questioning. He's going to start saying that Hashem is unfair, right? So the best way of showing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is unfair is where it goes directly against the promise. That the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you're going to this land because you're getting the entire land. And now here he has to go and pay for it. So that's directly against the promise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Satan's trying to contrast Eov with Avram Avinu. That Eov is going to start questioning you even if you didn't promise him anything. He's going to start questioning whether you're being fair with him. That's Pasha Pshat L'chora. But they say even further, I forgot who says, but I've seen in the past that what's this, the godless of the Nisayon of burying Sarah in the first place, right? So he had to haggle a little bit with the price of the Maris HaMachpelah. Big deal. He's burying his wife. He was a very rich man. Yes, it was a lot of money, but he's a very, very rich man. I'm sure it didn't put too much of a dent in his portfolio. So what was the big Nisayon? So perhaps the big Nisayon is that he had just come from Akedas Yitzchak. Now, Akedas Yitzchak was clearly a huge Nisayon. That was obviously a defining moment in his life. And after going through Akedas Yitzchak and showing that dedication and being on that high where it was so obvious that was his defining moment in life, so it's sometimes very hard to get motivated to be on a spiritual high for little things. For things that, should happen easily, for haggling with a guy over a price or something like that, and to make a Kiddush Hashem even in that environment, on top of a mountain where you're doing Akedas Yitzchak being recorded for all time, that's one thing. But to haggle with a guy over a price of a cave, you would think, okay, and that's, he'd let his guard down a little bit. The fact that even when it came to the small things, he never, ever let his guard down. He was always dedicated to the cause. That's something that really signifies the true godless of Avram Avinu. Says Gemara Vayta on the fourth wide line on Tezayin Amar Alf, Masnisa Tana Yori Du Matavolu Margiz Notel Rishus Notel Neshama. What the Satan does is he goes down and he leads people astray. He goes up, then he goes up to Shemayim and says, look, that guy's going astray. Do I have Rishus to kill him? And then he goes back and he kills the person. Meaning he leads the person on the wrong path, goes up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, says, you see, he's on the wrong path, let me take him, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him Rishus. Vayana Satan Hashem Vayomer, and the Satan goes back to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, says, yes, you let me take away things from Eov, but you didn't let me take away anything that related directly to his body. He says, let's see if we start up with Eov himself. We start hurting him physically. We'll see if he's still blessing you, Ribbono Shel Olam, if he's going to be cursing you. Okay, I'm giving you him. Do whatever you want to him. Only thing you have to do is don't kill him. You can do whatever you want, whatever physical pain, whatever sort of tzaras you want to bring to him, just don't kill him. The satan was now put in a more difficult position than Eov was. It's like a master telling his eved, break this barrel of wine, but make sure the wine doesn't spill. Meaning he's telling the satan, you can break Eov, but make sure the neshama doesn't come out. It's lahav to someone when they have to torture somebody to get whatever, to get information out of the person. And they have to be careful. They don't kill the person because then they're never going to get the information. So you torture and torture and torture, make sure you don't kill him. It's a very difficult task. The satan is the Yetzer Hara who is the Malach HaMavis. They're all the same. Who's satan? Who Yetzer Hara? And we know that he's the same one as the Yetzer Hara. Ksif Hasam Rak Rak Kol Hayom. Uksif Hasam Rak Elav Al Tishlach Yodcha. That we know the Yetzer Hara is Rak Rak Kol Hayom. And he uses the same lashon of Rak when it comes to this discussion between the satan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who Malach HaMavis? Ksif Achas Nafsho Shemar Alma B'Didei Kaima. And we know that he's also the Malach HaMavis because the Ribbono Shel tells this angel, just do me a favor, don't kill him. So that implies that this angel that he was talking to had the ability to kill Eov. So that's how you see that it must have been the Malach HaMavis, because who else has the ability to kill him? Amar Rabbi Levi, Satan u'Pnina l'shem Shamayim niskavnu. Both the Satan in the story of Eov and Pnina in the story of Chana were both l'shem Shamayim. Even though both of them look very bad in these stories, they both had kavanah l'shem Shamayim. Satan, given the chazal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did not yidaitei basar Eov, amr chas v'shalom min shilei l'rachmanusri d'Avram. The Satan saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Eov so much, and he was nervous that the Ribbono Shel Olam will forget how much he loves Avram Avinu, that it's going to make Avram Avinu not look as good in the Ribbono Shel Olam's eyes. And Pnina d'chsiv, and that's why the Satan started up. Pnina d'chsiv, how do we know Pnina was l'shem Shamayim? It says, v'chas t'tzarasa gam ka'as bavur harima. And why did she anger Chana? Why did she bother Chana so much? It's bavur harima, which Rashi says, t'sraim al shehi akara v'tispalel, hoping to motivate Chana to daven. And you know what? It worked. She did motivate Chana to daven, and Chana davened a tefillah that was unbelievable, the tefillah that serves as a prototype for all future tefillos. Nevertheless, Pnina was punished for it. Even though she did it l'shem Shemayim, and it worked, and Chana ended up getting bracha because of it, but Pnina was still punished for causing anguish and causing tzar to Chana. Darsh Rav Acha bar Yaakov b'papunya, asa satan nashke l'kari, the satan came and kissed him on his feet. Because also chata Eov b'sfasav, and through all this, Eov still didn't sin with his lips. Amar Rav b'sfasav lo chata b'libo chata. He didn't sin with his lips, but in his heart he sinned. Maika Amar, what did he say that was a sin with his heart? So Eretz Nitna Biad Rasha Pneshov Tei Yichasa Im Loe Famihu. That Eov was saying that look how the world has been given over to the evil forces. Because look what's happening to me. I was such a tzaddik. I've been doing everything right, and the world is being given over to the evil forces. Amar Rav Abikosh Eov Lafuch Karal Piha. Eov was trying to turn the plate upside down, which means Rashi says Lakor. He was starting to question the Ribbono Shel Olam. He was starting to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam's not in control, Chas v'Shalom. So he was saying such things that really turned around our whole hashkafa. They say, I just saw in this Sefer Shmuel Slubab Basra, he quotes from Rabbi Yeruchim. I'm not sure if he's quoting the Rishon Rabbeinu Yeruchim or he's quoting like Rabbi Yeruchim Mimir. It doesn't say. He says, Upirshu b'shem Rabbi Yeruchim. I assume it's one of the Achronim. I assume it's from Yeruchim Mimir. Shekshemahabchim ka'ar al-piyo. What's the imagery of turning a plate, a bowl, upside down? Why dafka that imagery of turning a bowl upside down? He says, when you turn a bowl upside down, it loses its entire function. Everything that it was meant to do, the whole tachlis of it, is the whole purpose that it was made for, is now not working. You're not using it for its original tachlis. And that's what Eov wanted to say, that there's no tachlis for any of a person's actions. For anything that we do, there's no purpose for what we're doing. There's nothing, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not paying attention. He just gave over the world to the Satan. Amle Abai, lo dibir Eov el keneged ha-Satan. Abai says, no, Eov was talking about the Satan, how the Satan is so terrible. He wasn't saying that that the Ribbono Shel Olam has abandoned us. Ketanai, so to machlok tanam, Eretz Nosam biad Rasha, Reb Lozer Amar, Bikishi of Lapo Char Alpia, Amlo Rabbi Shul, Lo Dibiri of El Klapi HaSatan. So you see that it's a machlok tanam, whether this was about the Satan or about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Al Daitcha Kilo Er Shavi Ein Miyad Chamatzil, Amar Rava Bikishi of Liftar Skol Olam Kulam in Adin, Eov tried to exempt the entire world from facing Din. Amar Lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam, he said to God as follows, Ribbono Shel Olam, Barasa Shar Parsos of Sedukos, Barasa Chamar Parsos of Klutos. You created a shar with split hooves and a chamar without split hooves. Barasa Gan Eden, Barasa Gehenim. You created Gan Eden, you created Gehenim. Barasa Tzadikim, Barasa Rishaim. And you created Tzadikim and you created Rishaim. Notice how he puts together things that the Ribbono Shel Olam clearly made two opposites of, where those items that he created have no control over which category they belong to. The shar can't turn into a chamar, the chamar can't turn into a shar. And then he says in the sound along the same lines, you created tzaddikim, you created rishaim. The rasha can't turn into a tzaddik. It's just the way he was born. It's nature. It's not nurture. It's just the way he is. Mima akev al yadcha. No, who's going to overpower you? You want the rasha to overpower you and become a tzaddik? How's he supposed to do that? You made him that way. What did Yov's friends tell him? He says, no, you got it wrong. They tell him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Yetzer Hara that turns a person into a Rasha, but he created the antidote for the Yetzer Hara, which is the Torah. That if a person learns Torah, they're able to overcome inclinations that lead them in the wrong way through the learning of Torah. Rav Elia Lapian writes in the Lev Eliyahu on Parshas Chayesara, he says, what was Yov's Havamina? Isn't it obvious that the shor obviously can't turn into a chamar and vice versa? The chamar can't say, you know, I'd like to split my hooves and become a kosher animal. It doesn't work that way. But a human being is created with an intellect. If you have intelligence, so you're able to make decisions in life, isn't that obvious? What did Yov's friends have to correct him about? Why? How could he have such a havamina? So Rav Elia Lapian says, no. When a person is a rasha, they use their intellect to be able to justify why they're a rasha. They very rarely use their intellect to see the positive way, to see the good path. When a person is a rasha, they use their intellect to come up with all sorts of justifications. It's not easy to just change from a rasha to a tzaddik. Yov's friends corrected him and they said, yeah, you're right. The intellect isn't going to do it, but Torah is going to do it. The Torah is the one way that you're going to be able to transfer from being a rasha to being a tzaddik. That's the antidote. Darish Rava, Maidich Siv Birchas Oved Ali Tavo V'Lev Almana Arnin, Birchas Oved Ali Tavo, Melamit Shei Gozel Sadim Yisom Mashbicha Machziru Lehen. This teaches us how Eov used to steal fields from orphans. He would then improve the field, he would make major capital improvements to the field, and then he'd give it back to them, and he'd give it back to them better than it ever was. Sounds like it was a wonderful thing that he did, that he would steal from them, improve it, and give it back to them. So this is the kasha that all of the Achronim deal with over here, that we learned to Gemara, Mesechus B'Metzia, Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara says you're not allowed to steal, even al menas l'mekat. Even if you plan on, you feel bad for a guy needs money, you know he's hard on luck. So you figure, I'll steal, he's not going to take my tzedakah, so I'll steal from him, he'll take me to Beis Din, they'll make me pay kefel, they'll make me pay double, so good, then I'll pay him back double, and he'll have money. So a wonderful idea, right? The Gemara says, no, that's asur to do. You're not allowed to steal al menas to pay back double. So what was Yov doing? You're not even allowed to steal if your intention is good, even if the intention is to ultimately do better for the person that you're stealing from. So how is this okay? So I have this beautiful sefer called Shmuos on Baba Basra, which has a collection of four different terutzim to this question. One terutz, he says, is that this is Rava l'shitaso. Rava said earlier on Daf Tesvavam Beis Yesse's Daf that Eov was not a Jew, that Eov was a non-Jew, and he says it could be that this Isser of stealing almanas to make it better and give it back when it's improved is only Usser for a Jew, is not Usser for a non-Jew. A non-Jew would be allowed to do so. A non-Jew is not allowed to steal, but he's allowed to steal almanas l'mekat. He's allowed to take to improve to give it back. Gemara Sanhedrin learns out where do we know the Yisr for a non-Jew to steal? Because the Pasuk says, by Adam and Chava, Mikol Eitz HaGan, that you're allowed to eat from any fruit of the of Gan Eden, but not from this tree. So it's not defined as an Isr as an Gezel unless it's Mamish Geneva. Furthermore, Minchas Chinuch says that it could be that the whole Isr al Menas L'Mekat is only by Geneva, not by Gezela. That's a second possible teretz. And over here, it was gezela. The Minchas Chinuch explains, what's the difference between geneva and gezela? That geneva, the iser is in the maisa geneva. And therefore, it doesn't matter what your intentions are and what you're going to give back. The maisa geneva is what's iser. To actually do the act of taking something that belongs to somebody else, that's the iser by geneva. As opposed to by gezela, the iser is having something in your possession that belongs to somebody else. And it could be that in that case, since it's not the maisa itself, but it's the having, holding on to something that doesn't belong to you, that when it is letovas, the other person, it's not going to be aser. And based on that, we can explain the Ran in Sanhedrin, where the Ran writes in Sanhedrin and Zion, that Gezel Akum is, that even if you hold Gezel Akum is mutter, it's Gnevas Akum is aser. We happen to hold Gezel Akum is aser also. But even if you were to hold Gezel Akum is mutter, Gnevas Akum would be aser. Why? What's the difference? Because if you hold Gezel Akum is mutter, what's the Svara? The Svara would be that you're allowed to commit Averos bin Adam Lechavero against an Akum. But if the Isser in Geneva is the act of taking something that doesn't belong to you, so it's not so much the Ben Adam L'Chavero, it's Midos Geruos, that you're training as Ben Adam L'Atzmo, that you're going and you're taking something that doesn't belong to you, it doesn't matter who it does belong to. As long as you're taking something that doesn't belong to you, Geneva's Akum is always going to be Asr. That's how Menchas Chinuch would explain that Ran in Sanhedrin that makes such a chilek. Rav Moshe has a different Yishuv. Rav Moshe, and Dibros Moshe, Ha'arayin Ches, is Miyad, it's different if you steal metaltalin or if you steal karka. When I steal metaltalin, I'm asked to make it better and then give it back in its improved state, so that's going to be aser. When I steal karka, I didn't take anything. I'm just working on the land. So I never took anything into my possession. So when you go and you're mashpiach karka, what's the whole iser of stealing karka? You're going and you're working on it. If you're having in mind that it's for your own sake, that's the iser. You didn't take anything. So the whole issue is b'machshava. The whole issue is that I'm working on this land because I want it better for me. But if you do, you go into the land and you work on it and you make it better, and then ask to make it better for somebody else, for the Yisomim, so then there's no problem. What about the tsar of the Yisomim that they're watching and they see that you took away the... Well, ultimately, they'll be happy about this because they're going to end up with a better field for it. So it could be you're allowed to sacrifice that temporary tsar. That's what Moshe says. Other Achronim suggest in the back, they're young, they're kids. They don't have any das. They didn't have tsar because they didn't understand what really happened. So you don't have to worry about the tsar. You only have to worry about the maisa geneva. And if I'm going and I'm working on the field for them, so I don't have to worry about a maisa geneva. The final answer that I saw quoted over here is that the Lecha Mishnah is medayik from the Rambam in Hilchas Geneva, Parakal Halacha Beis, that the Isra of Almanas Lamekat, the Isra of stealing on the condition to improve it and give back more, is only midrabanan. It's not an Issa da Oraisa. So it could be that the Rabbanan were not gozer, the Chia Gavna, where the Yisomim Nebuch need money, and this is the best way that he could think of to provide them with that money. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, V'lev almana arnin de kol hechadav almana d'lav nasvila hava azil shadi shmei lava. Whenever there was an almana that no one wanted to marry, so Eov would always throw his name behind her. What does that mean? He would either associate with her, and since he was the most chashuv person in the world, they would associate her with something positive by saying, oh, she's associated with Eov, she must be a very special person, she must be worth marrying. So people would immediately want to marry her. Others say it was more substantial, that Vavosim Nasra, they would come marry her. Why? Because others say it was more substantial, that he threw some money behind her. He offered a large dowry for anyone who would marry the Almana, and that way there were always people who were interested. Lusha kol yishakel kaosi v'havosi b'maznayim yisu yachad. Amar of Afro, l'pume di Eov, chavrusa klape shamaya. That the way Afro l'pume di Eov, like dirt in the mouth of Eov, chavrusa klape shamaya. He talks to the Ribbono Shel Olam like the Ribbono Shel Olam is a friend of his, as if they're on the same level. Lu yesh b'neinu mochiach yashas yado al shenenu. Amarav Afro Lupume di Eov. Again, dirt in the mouth of Eov. Klum Yeshevet Shemachiach Hashabu, it's as if Eov is giving Musar to the Ribbono Shalom. You know, if we would have a judge to judge, who's right between me and you, God? So Eov started saying things that were terrible. Bris Karti Le'enai. Umaz Bonan Al Basula. I made a treaty with my eyes. What am I going to look at a Basula? Amarav Afro Lupume di Eov. That Eov, again, he's saying things that are terrible. Eubach Renisa. He's talking about looking at other women. Avram, afilu b'didelo istakel. Avram Avinu didn't even look at his own wife. Tichsev, the pasuk says, "Hinei no yadati ki isha yifas ma'ra'at mechal d'meikara lo v'yadala." It says, "Finally, hinei no yadati." Now I know. Avram says to Sarah, when they went to Mitzrayim, he says to Sarai, "Now I know that you're an isha yifas Nitfas Mara that you're a beautiful woman, implying that prior to that, even though they've been married for years, implying that prior to that he had no idea that she was a beautiful woman. So this is where all the Achronim asked the obvious kasha, the Marsha asked the kasha. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin. You're not allowed to marry somebody unless you look at them to make sure that Shalotis Gan Al Baila, that she shouldn't be, she should be someone who's attractive to you. It's not the most important thing in a Shidduch, but it is something that is important. You're going to live with somebody the rest of your life. You should not be completely disgusted by their outward appearance. So a person is supposed to look at the person they want to marry before they marry them. So how could it say that Avraham Avinu just learned now, after years of marriage, that Sarah was beautiful and he didn't know beforehand? So the Marsha suggests that he certainly saw her before they were married, but he was such a kadosh and a tahar, he didn't gaze at her beauty since they were married. And she's a lot older now. So he figured that, you know, she probably got old. And now he looks at her, and she still looks like she's 20. She still looks beautiful and young. So that's what he was surprised at. He assumed that she probably would have gotten old by now. The Gorari, the Maral, whose yard site, by the way, is tomorrow, the 400th yard site of the Maral, is tomorrow. Got to remind me, we have to say over Maral tomorrow also. The Gorari says that, no, for sure he saw her face, but that's not where, that's not what he was mispoiled on, because the face, everybody sees, the face is always exposed. It must be that he saw now some unexposed part of the body. Now, you don't look at an unexposed part of the body before you get married, you look at the face. Right, that's what you're supposed to be mistaken. But now, as the husband, he saw some other part of the body, and that way he was able to see the Yofi. The Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayos, writes that Avraham Avinu, before he got married, he saw her. And you're allowed to see, and you're supposed to see who you marry before you marry them, but he didn't gaze, he didn't look intently at her. And that's what he only did now, that he really looked intently and realized that she's very beautiful. This is a very important chilik between Re'iyah and his staklus, right? For instance, the Gemara says you're not allowed to be mistakel at a rainbow. You're not supposed to be mistakel at a rainbow. But if you see a rainbow, you're supposed to make a certain bracha, right? So, if I'm not allowed to look, how am I ever going to see? No, the answer is you're supposed to see it. You're not supposed to gaze at it. The same is true when it comes to making a bracha. That's what the Pesukim talk about when you make a bracha on a melech. What about a malka? What about the Queen of England? Do you make a bracha when you see the Queen of England? Some of the Pesukim say, what do you mean, see the Queen of England? Now let her look at women? But no, there's a chilik between re'iyah and a staklus. You can see the Queen of England. You can't gaze, if one was so inclined, at the Queen of England, right? That's what you're not allowed to do. And finally, he says the Melitz Yosher is Metaritz, that the only reason why a person is mechuyev to look at a woman before he marries her is kedei shelo tiskana, because he knows that he's going to be looking at her his whole life, and he doesn't want to be disgusted by her outward appearance, so he has to make sure that she's reasonably attractive to him. But by Avraham Avinu, he knew that he was living on such a level where it really didn't matter, because he wasn't going to be mistakel at her even after they were married, so there was no need, there was no chiyuv in the first place of Avraham Avinu to look at her even before they got married. So that's how the Mefarshim Metaritz, how Avraham Avinu got around this issue of not looking at Sarah before they got married. They also talk about Yitzchak, because Eliezer went and was Mekadesh Rivka for Yitzchak. Yitzchak never saw her. Right? He only saw her when she got back. That was already too late. They were already married at that point. So that's also Akasha, how Yitzchak was able to do that. But that's a separate discussion for a different time. Okay, so says Gemara Vayter, darshening Pesukim in Iyov, Kala Anon Vayelach Ken Yorid Sha'ol Lo Yala, that he says, once you go down in the depths, you're never going to come up again. Amarav Mikan Shekafer Iyov B'Tchias HaMesim. That's Iyov being kofer, denying Tchias HaMesim, because Tchias HaMesim suggests you go down in the depths and you will come back up again. Asher B'Sa'ara Yishufeni V'Hirba P'Tza'ai Chinan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all this to me for no reason. Amar Rabbi Iyov b'Sa'ara Charef b'Sa'ara Yishivuhu. He was mecharif against HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a lashon of Sa'ara, and he was responded to with a lashon of Sa'ara. Sa'ara Charef t'chsev Asher b'Sa'ara Yishufeni. Amar l'fan of Ribon Shom, so God responds, Shema Ruach Sa'ara, Avru l'fanechem n'skalif lach ben Iyov l'oyev. I'm sorry, he says to God, he says to Ribon Shom, maybe some wind came and mixed around the letters of my name, and you got confused up there between Iyov and Oyev, because the letters of my name are the same letters as the word enemy of Oyev. So maybe that's what confused you. Besari Shivu, the Ribon Shom responds, Besari, Dechsev Ayana Shemasi of Minasar of Ayomer, Ezer Nag Kigibor Chalotzecha, get ready. Veshal chavodieni, and I'm going to ask you some tough questions. I want you to answer me. Amla harbe nimin barasi ba'adam. I created many hairs in a human being. Vekal nima v'nimin barasi la guma v'natzma. And each hair that grows out of a human body has its own little hole that it grows from. Shlo yushtaim yonkos migumachas. You don't have any two growing from the same hole. Shil mali shtaim yonkos migumachas machshichus marein of shaladam. And if it did happen that way, it would cause the person to become a little blind. Ben guma la guma lo nischalifli. Ben yiv lo yiv nischalifli. I didn't mess up two hairs on a person's head in the entire world, and you think I messed up Eov and Oyev? You think I got confused with Eov and Oyev? Me pal shot of tala harbe tipen brasi bavim kol tipen tipen brasi la dufus pneatzma. Can I show you shtei tipen yotzus mi dufus echad? I create a lot of raindrops in the world, and no two raindrops follow the same path. And shel mali shtei tipen yotzus mi dufus echas mitashos saaret veinu motzia peros. And if two raindrops did follow the same path, the ground wouldn't be blessed from the rain and wouldn't bring out fruits. Ben tipel the tipel on the skalufli ben Eov la Oyev. I didn't mess up two raindrops in the entire world, and you think I messed up Eov and Oyev? You think I got confused? My mashmadai tala lishon of the defusi. How do we know that the lashon, that the word tala is a lashon of like a path for the raindrop? Amra barshila dechsev ayas tala kebeis hasayim zera. V'derech lechazis kolos, and the Ribbono Shel Olam continues. He says harbe kolos brasi ba'avim. I created a lot of thunder. V'kol brasi lo shiel b'fnei, and each kol has its own path. Kedei shlo yishtei kolos yotzus mishvil echad. Said two sounds of thunder does not come from the same path. And if that were to happen, the whole world would be destroyed. I never got confused between two kolos, and you think I'm getting confused between Eov and Oyev? He says, pay attention to nature. Look what happens in nature, how detailed everything is, and how everything has to fit into place. This yalda, this animal, is achzaris albanea, is cruel to its children. What does it do? Bishasha karasa ledus, when it goes up, when it goes to give birth, when it crouches to give birth, ola l'rosh ahar, it goes to a mountaintop, kadesha yipol mimen of yamas. It's in such pain of birth that it wants to just kill the child. It goes up to a mountaintop so the child should pop right out and just fall down the mountain and die. Vani mazmala nesha shemakabal b'knaf b'mar. And I get an eagle to come by at that time, right as the baby's being born, and catch the baby. Vilmali maktim, and then deliver it to its mother. Vilmali maktim rega achad masacha rega achad. If the eagle is a minute early or a minute late, miyad meis, the baby would die right away. Ben rega la rega lo nischalifli, ben yiv lo yiv nischalifli. I never confused one moment for the next moment. And you think I confused Eov for Oyev? Chol ayalos tishmar ayala zu. This ayala, another animal, rich matzar. Its womb is very narrow. Bishasha cross the lettuce and he mazmula darkon shemakisha besarechem. And as it's about to give birth, I bring a darkon, some type of snake or scorpion, that goes and bites it right in the besarechem, right by the womb. Umisrape mi moldavil mali makdim rega echon, macha rega echon miyad mesa. And the bite expands the rechem and allows the room for the baby to come out. If I were to have that darkon come and bite 1 minute earlier, 1 minute too late, they would die immediately. Ben regular regular nischalifli, ben yiv loiv nischalifli. I don't confuse one moment for the next moment. You think I confuse Eov for Oyev? Eov lo bedasi davar v'dvarv lo b'haskel. Eov was not speaking intelligently. Amrav mikan she'en odem nitfas p'shas tzaro. You see from here, ein odem nitfas p'shas tzaro, that one can't be held accountable for things that they say during times of tzar, because during times of tzar, people speak nonsense. They can't control themselves. They're not thinking clearly. I was just reading yesterday, Brian gave me a sefer of letters of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Igros of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, not chuvos, not letters in Torah, just stam, letters that he wrote to various people. And right after his first wife died, 3 weeks after his first wife died, someone sent him a letter, one of his relatives sent him a letter, I have a wonderful shidduch for you to marry. And he writes back this long letter about how much he misses his wife and how he's so he's not himself, and how dare you even recommend a shidduch so soon. And one of the things he says is, I'm sorry if over the past few weeks I've said things, don't pay attention to anything I've said. Ein adam nitfas b'shas tzaro. He quotes this, that you can't judge me based on what I'm saying during such times of tzar. Eov's three friends heard about all these terrible things that were happening to Eov. Haba alav, and everyone came from where they lived. And they all got together to be able to go be menachim Eov. They all came in the same gate. They lived 300 parsi apart from each other. So if they lived so far apart from each other, one guy lived in L.A., one guy lived in New York, one guy in Israel. Gadi. How did they know? They didn't have communication, they didn't have telephones. How did they know what was going on? So Yigadamri Kalila Havalu, Vigadamri Ilani Havalu. They either had some sort of crown or some sort of tree. The Kivin the Kamshi have a Yadi, and as soon as it shriveled, they knew that something was wrong, meaning they had some sort of magical picture that represented each of their friends, and they knew that if one of them looked a little wrong, they knew that there was something wrong with that friend. And that's what people say. You either have friends like Eov's friends or death, meaning Eov, having friends like that is very important, that are always going to be there for you in a time of need. When girls are born, more people are brought into the world. Brings fights into the world. If Yold, it's a bracha to have daughters, so why, when all of Eov's brachas were doubled, didn't he have twice as many daughters as he originally had? Now, he didn't have twice as many daughters, but the quality was twice as good. They were twice as beautiful. Why are they given these names? Yamima was because she shone like the daylight sun. Katsia was because she smelled like Katsia, which is a beautiful smell. She looked like the horn of a keresh. So in Eretz Yisrael they heard that that's why they called the Karen Hafuch, and they left it. They said, no, the horn is a black horn. It doesn't look nice at all. So what do you mean they would name her after the horn of this animal? Elam Rav Chisda ki kurkama derishka b'minei. It's not the horn, it's a kokrama derishka, it's a something in a garden. Shinemar, it's some type of plant, a beautiful plant. Shinemar kitikri b'folk, Rabbi Shimba Rabbi Yisyalda Labarta, Rabbi Shimba Rabbi once had a daughter, have a kachalash daite, and he was upset, he wanted a boy. So Amalei Avua, his father said to him, Raviya b'Eliyala, what do you mean you should be so happy, you brought more people into the world? Amalei Bakaparta, Ankhum Shal Hevel Nicham Chavucha. Your father's comfort is empty. The Tanya, Yef Shal Yalim Blow Zacharim Blow Nekevels, because we know the Brisa says, the world can't exist without both boys and girls. Ela Ashri L'Misha But fortunate is one whose children are boys, unfortunate woe unto one whose children are girls. Yeah, obviously this Gemara needs a lot more explanation, and Daf Yomi doesn't do it justice, but we're just going to have to read the words because we got to get through everything. Eif Shalil, the Gra has a beautiful pshat. If anyone has a Kala Leo at home, take a look at the Gra. Eif Shalil, below Bosom, below Bursi. The world can't exist without a tanner and without a perfumer. Ashri Mishum Nasa Busmi, Olo Mishum Nasa Bursi. But still, you'd rather have the sweet smells from in your work every day than have the horrible smells of tanning hides. Kitanai, so the Gemara says, whether it's a blessing or not a blessing to have a girl is a machlokas tanaim, because the pasuk says Hashem berachas Avram bakol, Hashem bless Avram bakol, my bakol. What does it mean God bless Avram bakol? Rameir Amar Shalavaisa Labas. Rameir says that he didn't have a daughter. That's the great blessing. Rabbi Amar Shalavaisa Labas, and the Achronim explain, Ramban rather explains, Rishon explains, Ramban and Chumash says, why was it a blessing for him not to have a daughter? Because who would he have to have married that daughter off to? She would have gotten married off to the Canaanim, and the woman always goes after the husband back in those days. She would just be whatever he became. And she would go into nothing. She would become a nothing, a nobody. She would become a Kanani. So that's why Avram Avinu was terrified to have a daughter. What's ever going to be with her? So it was a great bracha for him not to have to deal with that. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shaisal Abbas. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he had a daughter, and that was the Bakol. Others say, no, he had a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Says Ibn Ezra and Chumash, if her name was Bakol, it should have said, Hashem Birch Avram Bibakol. Not Bakol, for name Hashem bless Avram with Bakol. Says the Ramban, if the Ibn Ezra understood the deep secrets that Chazal were teaching us over here, his lips would quiver and he would never make such a comment against what Chazal is saying. And he goes through a whole Kabbalistic explanation that it doesn't at all just mean that they randomly are just teaching us the name of Avram's daughter. There's something much deeper going on over here. You can take a look in the Ramban al Torah. Rav Lezer Modai Yomer Tzagninu Saisa Belibo Shal Avram Avinu Shekol Malchim Yisrael Marav Mashkim Lepischo. Everyone used to come to visit Avram Avinu. What was this great blessing he had? He had this precious stone that any sick person who would see it immediately would get healed. And Tosas asked, but wait a second, there was no Choli in the world until Much later on, until Yaakov was the first one. Gemara in Bava Metzia says Yaakov was the first one who got sick before he died. So Tosfos says, no, there's a different type of choli. If you get stabbed, so you're also sick. You didn't get naturally sick before the times of Yaakov Avinu, but you could have something happen to you that could hurt you. And in that way, the Evan was a refuah. U'b'shash niftar Avram Avinu menolam talak Rosh Baruch Hu begil v'chama. And when Avram Avinu died, that precious stone that was a refuah for everything, Kodesh Baruch Hu put by the sun. Amar Abaye Haim Damri. That's what people say, that idli yoma idli katsira, that when a person is sick but the sun rises in the morning, so all of a sudden the chali gets a little bit better, it gets a little bit easier. Just one last var to point out, Cheshek Shlom on the back of the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina in this machlokas, whether Avram Avinu had a daughter or didn't have a daughter? So he says, unbelievable. The Gemara derives from Avram Avinu that if someone is married for 10 years and doesn't have children, that you have to divorce your wife, because you're never going to have children with that wife, and you can't be mevatel from the mitzvah of pruravu. The Gemara derives it from Avram Avinu, that it was dafka after 10 years that he took Hagar because he didn't have any children. So if you say that Avram Avinu never had any daughters, and there's a machlokas haposkim, what if you have a child but not a boy and a girl? Because in order to get the mitzvah pruravu, you need both a boy and a girl. What if you have one child but not both? Do you still go and marry another woman after 10 years? So he says it's totally in this machlokas whether Avram Avinu had a daughter or not. If you hold he didn't have a daughter, but you saw he was content once he had what he had, he didn't go and try to marry anyone else after that. He was perfectly fine with that. But if you hold that he had he had a boy and a girl, that's why he was content at that point, because he already had a boy and a girl. So he said it could be enough kamina ladina. Halacha lemaisa, obviously, that pesach and shulchan aruch is something that should be discussed, not to be just taken based on a dafyomi shir. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem will continue, finish up, and try to do a little more catch up tomorrow. It's a long daf.